Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Speaking of iPads.
Yeah.
Lynn Casper. Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
I can't think of too many pitchers with bigger biceps than Michael Lorenzo. Man, he is put together.
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
Against Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez. And a drive to deep left. It is gone! Cubs lead 1-0. Redemption for Bryant, who had committed two errors earlier.
Lynn Casper with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. It's McNeil and Parkins, Mac back from Cottage, and time for our weekly conversation with our good friend Lynn Casper on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hey, Lynn, thanks for the time on your off day.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Good to talk to you.
Rare to have a back-to-back off day. You with ESPN last night, you didn't go to Williamsport. I've always wanted to go to Williamsport. I thought in 1974 my Highland South Little League pals and I were going, but Griffith had other ideas. Have you ever spent any time there, Lynn?
No, and I was originally planning on making the trip with the radio guys, but our only child is leaving for college in 3 days, so I wanted an extra day at home and thought it was a good time to take 2 days.
You made the right call on that. I was going to ask you, U of I, right?
Yeah, he's heading down to Champaign on Thursday.
I imagine the dorm. Mitch's son, Ben, is in year two at Ball State, and his responsibility living off campus with his three other guys was to get the gas turned on by the time everybody reported. They reported they took cold showers yesterday because Ben failed.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that as a college freshman you have to figure out for the first time, and my wife's very concerned about the pants and shirt combinations. He had kind of an olive green pair of pants, and I said, if we just eliminate this from his wardrobe, that'll help a lot, because sometimes you get the red shirt with the green pants, doesn't really work, but if you keep the pants kind of neutral, and you can go to town with the shirt. So I think it'll work out.
Yeah, man, if wardrobe is the biggest concern, that's a good kid.
Yeah, and the other thing is 18, 19-year-old freshman boys in college, they tend to not dress well, so that's just part of growing up.
Yeah, he'll fit in. I was wondering what the problem was with red shirt and green trousers. That seems totally
There's
fine.
No problem, Danny. You keep going with that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So a collective breath is taken by Cubs Nation. A road series win. Last time they did that, the Raptors were trying to get out of the Eastern Conference semifinals. What, 12 straight series, you said?
Yeah,
Danny?
12 straight series without a win. Was that an exhale series for you, Len, or is there an asterisk because it's the Pirates?
I think it's an exhale because of what happened Thursday and Friday to win these last two games. And I think that trip came down to two Chris Bryant home runs. The big home run in Cincinnati to get the 2-2 split a week ago Sunday, and then the Saturday afternoon home run. The game the Cubs should have lost was Saturday when you think about all the chances the Pirates had, and John Lester was able to get off the hook there in several instances. But the 2 days before were games the Cubs should have won and didn't. So you could have gone 2-8. You arguably could have been 6-4, and they ended up 4-6, which kind of fits what they've done most of the year. But the Cardinals are playing so well right now, you really needed to get those two wins.
I'm curious how you think the Cubs are handling this collectively in terms of handling not having any explanations as to why this is happening.
Well, I think that's accurate. I don't think there is an explanation. The home road splits are pretty stark with the pitching. And I think the day-night splits are also pretty glaring but I tend not to worry too much about that because I don't know how to parse it. You know, this a 1 o'clock game at home versus a 7 o'clock game on the road. You know, what does that mean? And I think it's a problem until it isn't. A lot of these things tend to even out over the course of a year, and these particular splits may not even out all year. But I think that next year could be just the opposite. You cannot figure that part out, and I don't think it's anything they're doing or not doing. Over the course of 120-plus games, which they've played, you tend to be what you are, and right now they're a decent team that's, eight games over 500 and fortunate, very fortunate to be in the National League Central. If they were in just about any other division, they'd be probably six or seven games out of first place and just scratching and clawing to be in the wild card.
Well, they've only had Nicholas Castellanos for 3 weeks. I mean, I thought he would provide an offensive spark, but I wasn't expecting this, Len. He's been amazing.
Nobody did expect him to be this good, and without him being as good as he's been, they probably wouldn't have, you know, as many wins as they do. It's one of the better midseason acquisitions the Cubs have made in a long time, and he's gone from most every day being a starter and definitely against lefties to basically never sitting and being your number two hitter no matter who hits first or third. He's been entrenched in that spot, brings a lot of energy. I heard Joe talking with Lawrence earlier today that before the game they do a high five, and Nick says, happy opening day, which is pretty cool. He looks like and acts like every day is the first day in the big leagues. He's going to be a free agent, so it's an important time personally for him, and I think he's re-energized because he went from basically an also-ran, a team that was looking at a long month of September, well under 500, to being with a team that plays in front of sellout crowds at home and has a chance to maybe go deep in the postseason.
Our conversation with Len Casper brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Believing is seeing. Schedule your free consultation today. In terms of a specific incident from the weekend, you noted multiple times on the broadcast on Friday, it was clearly Kinsler's inning. No one else was warming up. He had obviously just been recalled, and then he threw a ton of pitches in that blown save on Friday where there were three walks, one intentional, and he only got one out. Do you think someone should have been up Friday?
No, not necessarily. I think once you got past Kyle Ryan, I think that it was basically his game at that point. I suppose with some rust, you know, you might have wanted somebody up. But, you know, this was before Kimbrough came back. There weren't a lot of other good options. And there's a lot of stuff that happened in that inning that if you can rewind, you know, you go back and say, if this hadn't happened, I think the non-competitive walk to Colin Moran was not ideal. And then Cole Tucker, the rookie, gave him a great at-bat. You know, and sometimes you do have to tip your cap to the other team. The Pirates are a very aggressive, swing-first type club. And that's the one inning maybe in the season series where they didn't, and it worked out for them. That was a tough one to swallow because the Pirates have been the worst team in baseball since the break, and had you held on to that one, you'd probably engineer a series sweep.
Len, when we talk about the playoff rotation, and most people believe that one of the five usually gets put to the bullpen, and usually we think long relief for a starter. That makes the most sense, but I wonder if it might be in the Cubs' mind, at least toying with the idea that when they get to that, if because of the uncertainty of those last four or five outs they've been struggling to get, maybe you go unconventional. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there for conversation. Is that something that's a possibility with the stuff Darvish has to finish the ball game last five, six outs?
First of all, yeah, if you're playing a best of five series, you typically go with four starters, and the guy who starts the first game would be ready for game five. Now, you have five starters you like. I think all of them should pitch. You remember in 2008, Mac, when Ted Lilly did not even get a start because they got swept, he was slated to start game four. I think Joe will absolutely be creative. Let's hope they avoid the wild card game when everybody has a possibility of pitching. You know, you could use three starters in a game like that. But let's just say a division series against the Braves. I think what you could consider is piggybacking a couple of guys, and maybe you have a Yu Darvish, Jose Quintana start, or a Quintana Darvish start. I don't think you use an opener, a bullpen guy per se, but maybe you use two of your starters, and then you don't need that long bridge, or if you have a short start, you don't need five relievers to get to Craig Kimbrel. I think all of that stuff will definitely be in play, and it depends on how the starters are pitching at that time. But if it happened this week, I guess to answer your question, with the quality we've seen from most of these guys, you know, to me, Q, Darvish, they have to get starts somewhere, and you don't want to have five starters and only three or four of them pitch.
Quintana has been brilliant. What are you seeing?
I just think he's mixed his pitches a lot better. When he got here, it felt like he was very heavy fastball. His curve was his out pitch, but lots of sinkers. You know, we've seen more elevation, which is natural considering what most pitchers are doing here these last 2 years, and a commitment to his changeup. He and Tommy Hotovy talked a lot during the offseason and during spring training about making sure that the changeup was something that he needed to continue to throw, even if he gave up hits and home runs, and he has this year. But it's just another wrinkle. Instead of 91, 76, 90, 90, 90, 74, you blend in an 86, 87, 85 every once in a while, and I just think it makes all of his pitches that much better. And just command. You know, Quintana and Darvish, if you add up what they've done over the last month, I think they've walked under six or seven guys in the last, like, combined eight or nine starts. That's
wow.
Just jaw-dropping, especially considering how many guys Darvish walked earlier in the year. So when these guys, quote, struggle, they're getting hit and they're getting beaten. They're not beating themselves, and that's all you can ask out of a starter.
Cole Hamels has not been brilliant. He's been lit up his last two starts. How important is it for him, because he's been better at home, that he gets back out there tomorrow night on Wrigley Field turf, where he's been terrific this year? He needs to turn it around quickly, doesn't he?
Yeah, he had a good one. The first one back, I believe, was in Cincinnati, maybe, and it was pretty good. Maybe it was the one before that, and he only went five.
Yeah, it was the five-inning game.
Yeah, and I think that was at home, and he looked pretty good, but the last two on the road were not so good. I chalk it up to just missing about a month's worth of time. I really put Hamels and Lester in the same category. When they do struggle, even if it is for a handful of starts, that they're going to get out of it at some point. But to be honest with you, Mac, you know, it's always important when your starters have two bad ones in a row to have a real good one that third one. But it's not as critical right now just because of the way everybody else has pitched. And I think that's where Quintana and Darvish really stepping up when Hamels was out. I don't know if I'd say saved the season, but it kept this rotation afloat and helped out the bullpen, which did have a really good stretch before this last road trip.
Len, where in the bullpen are you confident right now?
You know, I think the two guys who I feel really good about almost every time they pitch are Kyle Ryan and Rowan Wick. And these are not names that you really thought a whole lot about when the season started.
No.
And I think Ryan in particular is a guy the Cubs had pegged long ago to be a really important piece. He spent all of last year at AAA. He's been a good soldier for them. He didn't complain that he didn't come up. Had a really good spring training and, you know, just quietly has gone about his business. I think he presents some really different angles for left-handed hitters. He's been a godsend for them, especially after, you know, the Montgomery season kind of went south with injuries and ineffectiveness before he got traded. So I think left-handed or getting lefties out, the Cubs need all hands on deck, and the fact that they have a left-hander in their pocket who's been that good, I think has been a godsend.
I wonder if we're going to see, and Joe hinted a little bit today, if we're going to see Underwood as the long guy so Chatwood could get more high-leverage spots.
I could see that. You know, Chatwood has also been a real important part of this thing, and I think Joe ideally – with a sinker baller, you'd like to have him pitch more often. But even when he's had a break, you know, he hadn't pitched in like a week, thought he was as good as he's been in relief of John Lester the other day. So That super utility guy has really done a nice job. I think he could start and give you three or four innings on a moment's notice if necessary, which he's been able to do a couple of times this year. But, yeah, I see him getting bigger outs and later in ball games late this season, and I think Joe has a lot of confidence in him too.
Len, enjoy the family time and the day off, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk soon, Len.
Let me add real quick, Danny, to your pitching questions.
Yeah.
Scoring about 8 runs a game for about a 4-day stretch wouldn't be a bad idea either.
That helps.
I think we've nitpicked the bullpen, and I think one of the problems is the games have been all so close. Having a little breathing room wouldn't be a bad idea, too.
You know what? You're 100% right, but the reason that I'm doing it that way, because absolutely fair critique, is that I don't have a lot of confidence that the offense without Contreras right now, like, there's just a lot of holes in that lineup.
And they are dipping not precipitously, but if you look at the league stats where they are as a team offensively, they're not on par. They're not where they should be. They're not where they were 6 weeks ago.
No, I agree. But I think it should be better. And I think the individual performances, when you look at them, have been good, but it hasn't added up for whatever reason. And
yeah.
I just think that they are due for a stretch here. Hey, the Nationals come in this weekend. They had a 4-game stretch. I think they scored 12, 16, and 14 over 3 games and lost the game in which they scored 14. So at some point, you're going to have to outslug some people.
Yeah, Rizzo getting hot would certainly help that. And
yep.
It looked like he's been a little bit better with the power stroke recently.
Yep.
Len, thank you as always.
You got it, guys. Talk to you next week.
See you, Len.
All right, we'll talk to John Morosi in an hour. He was at Williamsport for the national broadcast. I thought it was cool last night.
That's the best word for it.
It was just cool. And
I
was thinking about it in the context of sometimes baseball gets criticism for not promoting it.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's game. That event was handled with as much class as you could, as much promotion as you could, and it still wasn't really relevant outside of Pittsburgh and Chicago.
Right.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
They did a good job with it.
Did a great job with it. And what I noticed almost every time they were showing a group of kids in their Little League uniforms together, and it was all night, all over the ballpark, all the hues in the universe were represented, I didn't see kids on their cell phones. I saw kids talking to other kids,
yep,
watching baseball.
Locked in.
And eating. And that's what you should be doing at a ball game.
Yeah.
I mean, because I know they're little leaguers, but 10-year-olds have cell phones now, too. 12-year-olds, they all have cell phones. And I saw almost none of it last night. Everybody was engaged, and I thought that was cool. You got to get a bunch of kids together to find a place where it's a cell-free zone.
Maybe they're wearing
them. Sitting right behind home plate with Tommy Van Bisler, who's getting some ice cream now. He plays for Team Oregon. Now, you want to be a marine biologist. How come?
Well, ever since I was 4, I've always been so excited looking into tide pools and seeing all of the animal life down there. And when I was 6 years old, I think, I found a tide pool with a lingcod in it, which is a fish with big teeth, pretty much. And I pulled it out of the hole, and it shook its head, dropped it on accident, and then picked it up again. My dad said throw it in the ocean, so I did, and that's pretty much ever since I've felt so good about releasing fish and everything else.
If anybody's interested in the ling cod, by the way, just Google ling cod. You will never see an uglier fish. And I think Tommy is such a diplomatic young man, he didn't want to say that the ling cod is an ugly
fish
so as not to offend any ling cod fans that might be watching tonight.
That's how we roll in Oregon.
Cod! Everybody ling cod tonight.
God, is there nothing the Sunday night broadcast can't make awkward?
The best part of that awkwardness is that it was an A-Rod free zone.
Yes.
It was just a kid caught in broadcast hell, and he'll find his way out of it. He knows where he's going. It just may take him a minute to get there.
And A-Rod certainly isn't going to help you get out of it.
No. A-Rod.
Oh, yeah. We know what
he's small.
Looking at his iPad for the next chance to say, speaking of iPads.
We loved Bill Walton. Maybe we can make fun of some A-Rod coming up on The Score.
And in Sunday Night Baseball a week from tonight.
Yes.
Jess, Alex, Buster, and I will be in Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League Classic.
Yeah.
I can't wait. All the Little Leaguers come to the ballpark. The Big Leaguers go see the Little Leaguers that morning. It's like the best.
Sleepy little town.
Have you been to Williamsport?
I can't wait. No, I haven't.
Oh.
I bet it is a sleepy little town.
Yeah, he's probably right. He just has no idea what he's talking about.
Sleepy little town.
He's never stopped him before.
Cubs were on the upper tank last night, so I didn't hear a lot of the A-Rod Festival. Did he complain about the hotel accommodations in Williamsport like Al Michaels did when he was in Champaign doing a Bears-Packers game almost 20 years ago?
I have no idea.
Actually, they had Mike Mussina was on because he is a native of Pennsylvania around that area, and he made a joke like, you know, I can't believe that you're actually here, A-Rod, because of they don't have like a Four Seasons here.
Yeah.
And then someone mentioned, oh yeah, well A-Rod probably took his private plane here this morning, you know. So.
Mm. Yeah, he was in and out real quick.
That's it. Yeah, you probably won't find a Four Seasons in Williamsport. I remember Michael saying I looked all afternoon for a Two Seasons and couldn't find one. Hell.
That'll work. How did he do, Tanny? I mean, I know that it's a full-time job for you. You're on the A-Rod beat.
Yeah, I was thrilled for that last night. That's how you want to end a weekend, is dwindling away. You want to be watching Cubs and Pirates and a really, really not ideal broadcast. Like, because they strip it down. Like, they didn't do any replays. They had nothing. There was no equipment for them to do a professional baseball broadcast at that park. But the kids had fun, so I guess it was worth it.
It's all about the kids, Danny.
They ate well. They kept their phones in their pockets if they have phones. Yeah, it was a fine broadcast. And I thought the uniforms, I liked the Berg for Pittsburgh. I don't love Cubbies. To me, that is so synonymous with lovable losers.
Yeah, I see people say that, but then in the seventh inning stretch, it's root for the Cubbies.
I know.
At home with Cubs fans doing it.
C is for Cubbies.
See, that's it. It's lovable loser. It's Cookie Monster.
No, I understand the criticism. I do. Like, I wouldn't buy a jersey that says Cubbies on it.
Don't say anything.
But for the Little League game, I get it. And I'm not a uniformista. Like, it's whatever. They're doing it to sell it. Right, that's all it is. That'll be in the pro shop for $139 coming soon.
Yeah, we'll find out Wednesday. We'll get a chance to peruse the neighborhood. I bet we could buy a Cubbies jersey for somebody.
For someone else.
Yeah. Shep would wear it.
I'm sure he would. That'd be a great present when he comes back from the Smoky Mountains. We're at
perfect place for him.
We're at Aurelio's, right?
Yeah, it's the sauce.
It's the sauce.
Yeah, I met Joe Aurelio last time we were there.
I know. I
wanted to meet Joe for a number of years and tell him thank you for all the sauce over the years.
Sauce.
Bottom, and sausage.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald and the 25th ranked cast this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
You want to talk to Fitz today? If you want to get Fitz on, they're working out. Kitty practice has started up north of the border where they work out. We don't have to. My friend and his agent, is up there watching them practice, and I asked him, I said, we hand the phone to him if we ask you to at 5 o'clock? He said, sure, I'll ask him. You want him? I'd rather talk to Jerry Angelo today, but I think he's lying low.
Yeah, I could see why. Sure.
I can see why.
Yeah, I could.
Well, explain that.
Well, I mean, listen, coming out, to when your phone's getting hit up, when a player who is synonymous with your tenure died at the age of 36 years old, like that, do you want to come out and put your name on it? Like, it's not an easy interview to do when some of the things that you're going to be asked about your time evaluating that football player, when it's really not a time for that. Like, happened with Cedric Benson on a motorcycle with a 27-year-old, he's 36, she's 27. Those are two lives gone way too soon. Like, I could see not wanting to comment on it.
I can, too, but, you know, he always could say I'd rather not comment on that and talk about the things they found appealing about him when they chose said as the fourth player overall in the 2004 draft and how dominant he was as a collegiate. Jerry was wrong. Jerry got sure. rid of Thomas Jones and kept Cedric Benson, and that wound up being the wrong thing. I didn't care for Jerry's explanation, and I told him that after it, when he said they couldn't coexist in the same locker room. And they don't have to coexist. You know, you got a lot of different – you got 55, 60 guys in there. They don't all have to like each other, and just because they play the same position doesn't mean they have to be hangout buddies on the road. They probably aren't even on the field at the same time.
No, but that does make it harder because you have meetings with your position group, so you go from the 53 guys in the locker room down to four in a running back meeting.
It's funny that Jason McKee, the fullback, one of the guys who did actually go on the record in the Tribune story I read about Cedric Benson's career, talked about how popular he was in those meetings. He was a good guy to have in the meeting rooms, and I don't think a lot of guys would share that opinion. He was not a very popular guy among his teammates.
No, I mean, I remember those times being so excited that the Bears got one of the best college football running backs, or at least the most intimidating college football running backs that I had ever seen. I thought Cedric Benson was really cool when the Bears got him. Just Texas, hard-nosed running, ran through people, the dreadlocks with the helmet. Like I was really excited for it to work, and it always surprised me that running back could be a place of conflict because it's not like I need to turn to the running back to be a leader of the team. It's not quarterback. It's not a middle linebacker. It's not a coach. I remember it always striking me as strange and a conflict of ego that it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I went to the University of Texas for one game in 0-2. And Cedric Benson was a sophomore on the Longhorn squad that day, and he stood out in the game. The Oklahoma State quarterback was future White Sox third baseman Josh Fields.
Oh, that's a fun game.
It was. Didn't know
it's
at the time.
It's an odd game, obviously.
When I was watching, but Ced Benson stood out, and we got him to come by our show after they worked out in Bourbonnais, 07-ish. I don't remember the exact year. It doesn't matter. And we actually were done with the interview, and we were done with the show, and we were just headphones were off in the trailer, and we were having a beer, and he stayed. And I said, "Don't you have somewhere to be?" And he said, You guys will talk to me more than I'll get talked to when I go back to the dorm."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he said it's nice to have someone to talk to.
Right, craving conversation and acceptance.
Yeah, so he was pretty – it wasn't on the air, but he was pretty forthright that, you know, he knew he wasn't popular. And I thought a lot of that was immaturity on the Bears players' part when he held out of training camp – and they went after him in a thud drill and treated it as if it were live. And the coaches never should have tolerated that. That was bad on Lovie Smith's part to allow it to go on for several snaps. They're in thud, which is not even – you're not even half tackling. And guys, Briggs was one of them. Brian Urlacher was another one who were knocking him on his ass like they were playing on Sunday afternoon. That's business. They should know that.
Briggs referenced it in his post on Instagram about how I would hit you too hard and you would hit me too hard, but then at the end of the day, we'd pat each other on the back and, you know, we ended up being brothers and teammates and all of that. I'm paraphrasing his Instagram post, obviously, but it was, it felt like a story that would not happen today. we're in this post-hazing world of football. There's a little bit more awareness of that sort of thing. Like, the worst thing that a rookie has to do that we know about anyway.
Carrying pads.
Carrying pads, singing a fight song, maybe picking up a dinner tab. And so it felt like a story that was the product of its time.
Yeah.
And 10 years in the future, maybe Cedric Benson's pro career is entirely different.
Maybe. I hope that that we've gotten past that. I never understood it, and I had a lot of respect, more than people probably would have guessed, for the way Lovie Smith ran his football team. I didn't like Lovie very much, but I respected the way he ran it. I was surprised he tolerated that. Cedric Benson wound up having his career day against the team that drafted him in 09 against the Bears, when he rushed for 189 yards and even made it into the McNeil and Spiegel Show greatest hits of the fall of 09 with that effort. And who'll stop the run from Creedence Clearwater Revival? Yeah, Tanny, was that findable?
I don't remember this one.
Chris?
Well, let's see here. Was I able to track that down? I don't know.
Palmer takes, give to Benson, walks into the end zone. Another Cincinnati Bengal touchdown. This one from 1 yard. They've scored on all seven of their possessions. The Bears completely screw this up.
Saw Cedric Benson rolling like he never did before.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is. He made it in song.
He made the song.
Yeah.
Man.
I hate motorcycles.
I was just going to say.
36 years old. You know, and my son drives one, rides one. I know riders would say, he didn't drive it, he rides it. Yeah, he rides it. He rides it, he rides it, he rides it. And the week before we left for Canada, he went on a trip where there was an accident involving somebody in his group on a motorcycle. And it was his Uncle Jimmy. And he's lucky he survived it. And I hate him. I always will hate him. And it's not the guys on them I hate. It's those who don't pay attention to the guys on them. And people who don't pay attention, period, whether you're on a motorcycle or whether you're in a car. It's just all it takes is being grazed. Just make contact. And, you go down on that bike at a high rate of speed, even wearing a helmet, bad things are going to happen. And I've lost several friends on motorcycles over the years.
Mac, a buddy of mine lives in California, just had a beautiful baby girl a month ago with him and his wife. And the other day he posts, just got my motorcycle license. And I'm like, dude.
I know.
Risk reward, right? It was like, as soon as I saw the news, it's tragic. And you think of two lives gone way too soon. And then Chicago sports, you go back to Jay Williams, second overall pick, career completely derailed because he got on a motorcycle, and he's the lucky one.
Yeah, and because of his accident, which ended his career and screwed up his life for the duration of it to a very large degree, I backed off of a deal. I already agreed to a deal to represent a local. I was going to ride a Harley. Yeah, I was going to ride a Harley because I had one when I was a teenager, and I'm like, no. Okay, after that, just stark reminder of what it's like, and I did lay my bike down once as a teenager, and that's what prompted me to put it in the newspaper the next day and sell it.
It's funny, it's not funny, it's tragic, but when people talk about, hey, stick to sports and all that, sports can inform society on a number of things like that. Derek Thomas in Kansas City basically changed the percentage of people who wore seatbelts. Len Bias in the 80s, cocaine use dropped precipitously.
Did it?
After his death.
Boy, not where I was at.
It was after his death. It was a thing where it was like, man, people in the Boston area especially, there were studies that came out that the use went down because they were terrified that a great athlete who they had just drafted could go. So you look at these things, man, and it's just... It's scary, obviously, but yeah, I've never been... Listen, I don't like roller coasters, much less motorcycles or skydiving or any of that. I'm not much of a thrill seeker, but...
Yeah, I get the excitement of it.
Sure,
I understand it, but it's just... you're just one misstep from somebody else away from having your life changed forever, if not terminated.
The bottom of the hour was also brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, Tanny, maybe we need to end this on a lighter note. Is it possible?
Oh, I love prisms.
Perfect.
He loves prisms.
We love prisms.
Oh, Pink Floyd's album covers, man. They had lots of them.
It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Anthony Rizzo was talking to a bunch of kids about earlier today when he's out of the Little League fields. He was like, guys, you should be playing something. It doesn't matter what you're playing. He's like, I love baseball now, but he's like, I played 6-7 sports, and he was name in ice hockey, I mean gymnastics, Anthony Rizzo, but he was saying, I tried it all. He's like, you guys need to make sure you're doing the same because you always want to have fun, do something you love.
Just talking about not retiring, this is the first generation of kids that will not outlive their parents. And to think that there's more kids today playing esports than physical sports, it's something as parents we have to really promote going outside and playing. Maddie, when we grew up, there was not, it was Atari, but you had to go outside and play for four or five hours. Kids today, too many times, choose to stay inside and play video games.
Yeah,
I'm listening to athletes say, "Who you know?" I watched as a grown, fully grown man, family now say, "Kids today, A-Rod's putting out the get off my lawn sign."
Kids today is never a great way to start a point.
Don't get enough fitness in their lives. Yeah, we had Atari, but we got out there and played 4 or 5 hours a day. We were kids.
Yeah, and listen, the esports thing. It's now a college major, and it is a multi-billion-dollar business. So
not going away either, so you can bitch about it all you want to, old-timers. It isn't going anywhere.
And I have yet to see the study that links the prevalence of esports to a shorter life expectation.
Like, I don't. This is the first generation of kids that will not outlive their parents.
So it
they
might
will
be
not outlive their parents. Let's examine that.
Okay.
This is the first generation of kids that will not outlive their parents.
I think he means.
I know what he means, okay. But that's very ill-stated, isn't it?
This is the first generation of kids that will not outlive their parents.
Yeah, I was watching with my daughter last night. I'm like, sorry, baby. You're going to die way before daddy will, so sorry about that.
Yeah.
He means that we're not going to live as long. Is that his thought?
Life expectancy is going down, yes.
Yeah.
Right. He doesn't mean. There's going to be all those Little League parents who are watching on TV. It's good to see him having fun. He's going to be gone in a month.
This is the first generation of kids that will not outlive their parents.
Well, what did Terry say when I was gone? And
yeah, Tanny said earlier today, it reminded him of Boers last summer when he was trying to talk about how baby boomers, those born between 45 and 65, factually speaking, there are now more of us than ever before.
Baseball has this real problem that they don't attract the younger audience. We've got the audience that's 55. We got that rep. Well, nobody wants that. Nobody wants me. I mean, nobody's interested in me.
Yeah, but there's a lot of us, though. I think they still care because...
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
There's a reason it was called the baby boom. Those born between 45 and 65. There's a hell of a lot of us still around.
More than ever. More than ever. I mean,
No, more than ever was probably 1965.
Yeah, I looked at him like... What? What are you trying to say? I'm having dinner with Terry a week from tonight. I called him today. The big fella's feeling good. He enjoyed being back here for a day last week. Did you get to hear any of his reunion?
I did.
Well, what you know was billed as a reunion show with Bernstein.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Spiegel and Parkins reunion did not get nearly the billing that the Boers and Bernstein reunion did, which is okay and deserved because they were incredible. They, to quote Rounders, Mac, they fell right back into their routine like Clyde Frazier and Pearl Monroe.
Love that quote.
It was spectacular.
Love that quote a lot more than I love that show. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could have heard some of it.
Well, yeah, you were working opposite it. But they were...
No, I mean last week, too. I mean, I don't know. Can you get the app when you're in a remote location? I suppose I could have listened to it Monday afternoon while...
That would have been a weird choice for you on vacation.
Yeah, especially while throwing for muskies.
Would have been surprising.
Yeah,
you and Dan both fishing. Bernstein fishing north of you, I think. He took a couple of flights to get to where he is.
Yeah, he went. I'm pretty sure he is in northern Manitoba. I think that's where he told me he was going, which is considerably farther than where I go. Yeah, and he posted some pictures of some very large northern pike, a member of the Esox family, but not the king of the Esox family. That's the muskellunge.
Of course. Yeah, everybody knows that.
Yeah. Somebody had commented. Did I tell you this? Somebody had commented to me on Facebook that Bernstein looks like he's the true outdoorsman of the score.
I'm sure and that's they, great with you.
Well, I love that I have somebody here to talk to about fishing, and Dan has got some chops. I don't deny that. But do not show me a picture of a northern pike and try to explain somebody's prowess as a fisherman. That doesn't illustrate it. I'm not saying he doesn't know. He knows how to fish. I've talked to him. I know he knows his onions. But, I mean, you could catch a northern pike.
I'm sure I could.
Northern pike fishing is and it's fun. I like to eat them. Not that big. Not the size of one he caught. We get, you know, very often, disappointment is what our boat is filled with when we catch a large northern pike because we want its superior cousin, the muskie.
And you only caught one muskie in 10 days, or 8 days,
yeah,
or whatever.
And I caught a northern pike the first night I was on the water, and it was just a little bit smaller than the one Dan had in Manitoba. And when we see it in the net, it was like, you know, duck lips. You know, you frown. It's not a muskie. You're hoping it was a muskie. It's a 38-inch northern. Probably weighed about 16, 18 pounds.
So who is the true outdoors king of the score?
Oh, boy. Haw? Haw.
Chicken sausages.
Yes, he has. He has all the chicken sausages. So that trumps all.
Okay, I was curious. I didn't know there was a you know what measuring contest between pike and northern and muskie and bait and halibut.
Well, I'm glad he went up. I think he went with his dad. I think he told me about this a year ago.
His dad, his son, his brother-in-law. There were many generations of Bernstein.
Lots of Bernsteins up there.
I think it was five of them total.
Nice.
That were going. Yeah.
Wow.
What an awful thing to think.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, have
big,
fun.
Big pile of Bernsteins.
There were lots of Bernsteins running around.
Bernstein's dad is, at least, you know, when I've been around him, he's not like Dan. And Dan is becoming more like this as he recently hit 50, more gentle. But Dan's dad is a very gentle man. He's a gentleman. He's a very gentle guy. At least when I've been around
him.
Yeah. Of course, every time I'm around him, it's at a wake or something like that. So most people are gentle at a wake. Even Dan was.
Yeah. Last time you were at one, you were photographed in the Tribune smoking a cigarette.
That's correct. That wasn't the last time, hell. I've been to half a dozen of them this year. It's been a banner year around the old Bender household.
Tania got awkward again. Can I get some Bill Walton, please?
Do you like bones in your fish?
Perfect. Thank you. Matt Nagy compared to the rest of the NFL. It's getting ridiculous, Mac. That's next on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.